Have you ever shared an imaginary friend with a family member? What if your family had ties to the dark arts? What would scare you so badly you start to have panic attacks? Today we test the believability of the winged demon.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Man, you could probably hear it. I'm still messed up.
This is going to be, a lot of people didn't know originally.
Oh,
this is going to be an interesting journey because I'm running on 3 hours and 15 minutes of sleep and you are recovering from a major illness. Not COVID though.
No, it was not COVID. I got tested 3 times in 4 days.
They literally scratched your brain with that cotton
smile. It went up there. It hurt. But I know I don't have COVID.
I can't count anymore and I can't see out of my left eye, but I don't have COVID. So it's a listener submission time again.
Yes.
Browns lost. That was expected.
Oh, that wasn't part of the listener submission.
No.
Yeah, this is a listener submission from somewhere I'd like to go someday. Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
Nope.
Okay, I thought maybe.
Nope. I couldn't even tell you where it is. For real. And I've no shame in saying that.
It's okay. I vaguely know where it is.
Okay. Let's just both not say it. And you know what?
Well,
if you want to know it, I know you have Google Maps on your phone. Just go check
pull it up.
Yeah. We're not your mothers or your fathers.
So this episode, the winged demon, do you have any thoughts on it already?
Sounds like Jersey Devil. Sounds like Mothman. I always pay very close attention to your questions. And I think everybody does because
it's the first thing you hear.
Yeah. So it's like panic attack, and then I get Professor Snape and the dark arts. But the most interesting thing to me is definitely the idea of two people sharing an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
If you can imagine anything, I would not imagine a winged demon.
We'll get into it, obviously. So today we tell the story of A. A is the name.
A. Just A. Privacy.
Yes.
They don't want us to know. They don't want you to know. Do we know?
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Maybe it's for the best.
I'll tell you off the air if you want.
I would like to know, actually.
But this story is it's insane. Not that she's insane, but this story is crazy.
So you're saying is if they're on our Patreon for the listener submission interview, it's going to be like one of those blacked out, like witness protection, like when the winged demon came.
I'm not sure what she'll do. Maybe.
She might not respond.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But so like she kind of grew up with like a family myth.
Urban legend.
Kind of like, the family really is really into like ghosts and
like
stuff.
Like, go to bed by 8, otherwise the winged demon's gonna grab you, take you away.
It wasn't that explicit, no. But like, her family was always into witchcraft and like, magic and stuff like that, but no, kind of like my family.
No cookies before dinner, or else the winged demon's gonna bust in through the window and snap your neck.
It feels like a Krampus story.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
You have one in your family.
Krampus?
No, a story. You just said you did.
Well, I mean, like, we all were into, like, ghosts and stuff.
Okay.
Her family's into ghosts and stuff.
So is this something that, does this permeate beyond her family, or is this something her family has kind of...
This is a very close-knit family story.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, we have this family story. It's called Jersey Devil.
That one got Puerto Rico. Out of
It's a chupacabra. Jersey Devil needs vacations too. I guarantee everybody from Jersey doesn't want to stay in Jersey all the time. And no disrespect to Jersey. We parked there when we went to New York. We literally went there to park.
That's true. Yeah, you get cab ride.
But you had a story to tell. I'm sorry.
So we look at some of the traditional magic practices from Puerto Rico and what can happen in a family that dabbles in the dark arts.
Doesn't seem like a good idea.
So A was told all her life about her family's old roots in dark magic, or black magic. And it was told to her from her aunt, who said it came from her grandfather's mother, so her great-grandmother. And she was a practitioner of these dark arts. So I did some research into what kind of magic was done, or magic, or kind of like a religious magic was done in Puerto Rico. And I came up with two things. Two things that her great-grandmother might have been practicing, because she didn't say explicitly what it was. So I did some research, like, what it could be. So I think that her aunt maybe saw her grandmother doing these things at a young age, and she didn't know exactly what it was, so she passed it on that it was the dark arts. And the two kinds of things it could be was Santeria or Brujeria. And so I have a quote from an article about Brujeria, like what it actually is, because I wasn't really sure. So this is from Be Latina about Brujeria. It's building sacred altars that practitioners use white magic or evil black magic to cast spells and use objects to summon ancient demons. Brujillos or brujos use elements from nature as well as oils and other elements to condition the healthy, beautiful family love, relations, fortune, and careers of individuals.
See, that one makes sense. I don't know. Who goes into a ritual and is like, I want to summon a demon?
Well, I think they're trying to harness these powers from good and evil to get what they want. That's the way I read this.
Okay. It's funny because I keep tripping over the word practitioner, which I know that's what it is, but it makes me feel like a doctor.
Well, someone who
pull out the yellow books and we're going to the practitioner.
So I was thinking this could absolutely be what her aunt saw at a young age, like the grandmother, this great grandmother, doing these kinds of rituals, and she didn't really understand what they were, so it got misconstrued as just blanket dark magic.
What's that Disney movie where it's got like the it's like Louisiana and it's got the dude that makes like the shadows and he's
Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, and but the dude that's like got the skull face and
he's got a name. Like, I don't know what it is.
And he's like, that song is what I'm picturing. Like she wakes up because she hears like something get knocked over and her grandma's like, just catchy dancing. Tune. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Well, maybe it's kind of like that. I don't know.
Probably but not that.
Maybe not that exactly. So as I guess what a family background in dark magic might be, let's move on a little bit. So from a young age, A saw things that would confuse or frighten a young child. She would see her father walking, and from behind her, she would see shadows moving independently. So not his shadow, shadows following him. Now, A was only 4 when she started to see these things, and like any self-respecting father from a horror movie, he did not believe her.
It's just the wind causing those shadows. I just bought this house. You want to go back to Jersey?
So he didn't believe her. And then when she was about 5, something incredible happened. She experienced a huge change. She moved in with her grandmother in Puerto Rico. So she moved there. From where? I'm not sure. So she's moved in with her grandmother at this point. Thankfully, this shift in A's life brought some peace from this paranormal kind of startings. So it went from seeing shadows and things that confuse children to she moved, and then nothing really happened until she was about 7.
Was her dad still with her, or did she move from her father with her grandmother?
She didn't say he came, so I assumed she went by herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, naturally, it makes sense then that she might not see the shadows as much.
Yeah. So, however, people who are sensitive and have family history in the dark arts are never really able to keep that peace. So when she turned 7, she started to see things and started to escalate. And it began with a spirit, a particular spirit. And this was not a Casper, the friendly ghost kind of spirit. She described it as being a young girl.
So your red flags are already
in the air, 100%. And it's not, I'm just an innocent young girl. This is like a grudgy kind of dark hair, long hair, dirty clothes. That like, yeah,
in the background. Ugh.
And she's got menacing vibes all around. She's got like this evil, dark energy.
And this is at her grandmother's house.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, like out of just kind of the blue.
Out of the blue. It's kind of risen out of nowhere. Now, she was young, right? So she didn't really understand what was going on, what she was seeing, or that this entity was abnormal. So she kept it to herself.
She must have known it was a little abnormal if she kept it to herself.
She probably did. She wasn't sure what to do, I think.
That's fair.
But she was not the only one in her family in their youth that saw invisible people. At the same time, her younger cousin, Eddie, started talking to an imaginary friend as well. A's aunt was concerned about her son seeing something that was not there, although he was at an age where some people think it's perfectly fine to have an imaginary friend, and some people don't think it's okay. She was in the latter that thinks that it was never okay to have an imaginary friend, so she took him to a therapist.
Because of the background in the dark arts.
It didn't say explicitly that's why.
Well, you know what? That would be my guess, but now that you just said that she took him to a therapist.
You wouldn't imagine it was because of the dark arts.
Yeah, now it seems like she was worried about his like socializing his mental health, skills or mental health. Yeah,
that's what I think too, because it was a therapist, not like a...
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But she was still concerned.
I guess it would depend how extreme he was treating this imaginary friend.
That's true. That's true. Like, what level? Is he completely cutting out everybody? Or is he just like every now and again? From the actions that she took, I would assume it's pretty extreme.
She looked at his top eight and the first one was just blank. Like, who's that? It's my imaginary friend.
Actually, I had an imaginary friend.
Did you?
I did. Did you?
No.
I did.
I had a sister.
I didn't socialize. His name was Toby and he had green skin.
Oh.
And I probably had him for...
Was he reptilian?
Too long.
He had you for too long.
No, I watched Doug a lot.
Oh, so everybody's miscolored.
I think he came from Skeeter.
Was he? He wasn't green, though, right?
He was blue.
Yeah, okay.
Blue-green.
Well, okay, that's fair. This is actually a three-person podcast. Y'all just can't hear Toby.
Toby's still with me.
We're just going to leave awkward pauses in the episode. We're just like, oh, good joke, Toby. He doesn't have good comedic timing.
No, he's doing his best. So because of her aunt's fear of what might be plaguing Eddie mentally, she brought him to a therapist. The therapist unearthed descriptions of this imaginary friend. What Eddie was seeing was remarkably similar to what A was seeing, and he drew it out for his aunt. And when his aunt heard about or saw what Eddie was drawing about his imaginary friend, she got really concerned. Because apparently, this entity had been haunting A's family for generations. The aunt, A's aunt and Eddie's mother, she also had an encounter with the same little girl, Spirit. While she was pregnant with Eddie, she saw the same entity crawl through one of the windows in the house. And when A's aunt saw this, she shrieked and she cried out, "I don't want you here. You must leave." And at that, the entity listened. It fell to the floor like a rag doll and started to fade away. Now, that's the aunt's last encounter with this entity, but it seems like it's trailing these children and the family. Now, I'm asking you right now, that's strange, isn't it?
Which aspect?
That this spirit is kind of focusing on this family.
I guess you would assume with the black arts background that it could be tied to that.
It could
tied
to that.
It gives it a through line, which is what humans attach to. You know, the family is the through line. So
yeah.
To me, like, 'cause my mind works so much in stories and narratives and movies and things like that. So to me, it makes sense. Sometimes it's hard for me to step back and separate, you know, like theater and film and books from the real world. In the real world, you know what? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But I think people look for connections to things, so it's also easy to kind of dismiss him, like, well, yeah, it's a family thing. It likes that family. Maybe they summoned it. You know, maybe her great-grandmother? Was that great-grandmother?
I think it has to be something like that. It has to be kind of leading into this dark magic background, right?
So when she was having Eddie, which I like how she gave us A, but she's like, yeah, my cousin Eddie, here's his address. So when she was pregnant with Eddie and she saw it crawling through the window, she saw it in the little girl form?
Yeah, in the little girl form. Okay. Same form as A is seeing it, same form Eddie's seeing it. Same entity.
This is going so well in terms of validating your opinion on little girl ghosts.
Oh, I know. I'm getting the buzzer with that one, I know.
Yeah.
You can never trust them. You never can trust them.
I feel so bad for every legitimate little girl spirit out there.
There is
about you got six. No chance with Charlie.
No way. No way in hell. Just there's like only like six of them in the world that are real. The rest are demons.
So, okay. So to bring us where we're at, she has this imaginary friend Eddie has this imaginary friend.
Same one.
Same one who was also seen by Eddie's mother, A's aunt, when yes. she was having, when she was pregnant with
Eddie. Yeah.
And she was actually was able to overpower it, though.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
She was very strong-willed about it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have that backbone. I'm like, please don't come in. But it's fine. Just shut the window. There's a spider out there.
When A's aunt came back from the appointment with Eddie, she asked A if she had ever seen anything paranormal in the house.
This is the therapist meeting with Eddie.
After she came back from that.
But that's that's the timeline.
Right? Yep, same one. And when A said yes, she'd experienced witnessing the same ghost, this girl, haunting her, watching her sleep. Same thing in the house. The same thing her cousin experienced. The aunt's mouth dropped down and she froze. A's aunt was scared about what was going on in her family. This entity that was haunting her niece and her son, as well as her. So A said there's this thing. It's called an all-seeing dome. She said that her family may have been cursed with an all-seeing dome. That is according to her, and this is what it is. It's where every firstborn can see or hear the dead or bad. And I did some looking around. I couldn't find this exactly this thing, the same thing that she said. Maybe there's another term for it, or it's like a family thing, or even like a misprint. I'm not really sure, but I have a hunch it might have something to do with Santeria or the Brujito, but I'm not positive.
This seems like kind of the lore of the firstborn, because people joke like, oh yeah, offer your firstborn.
Yeah.
Like there seems to be that type of like myth behind the value of a family's firstborn.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not, so I'm good to go.
I guess I am, technically.
Technically you are.
But it goes along, I think you're right, it goes along with that firstborn thing. I don't know, maybe A, Eddie, and the aunt are all the firstborn. I haven't really thought of that. Maybe that's what it is.
It could be. It'd be interesting to know if they had any siblings.
But again, I'm not positive what it is, so we're just going to go with what A said.
Yeah. Well, that's all we do on these listener submissions.
That's true.
It's completely your words face value. And then we break it down in the discussion.
So her family came to this conclusion that they were cursed with the all-seeing dome. And soon after this, Eddie's encounters started getting more intense. Eddie started to tell A about their shared ghost, that he was playing in his room with some of his favorite toys, and she would come. If he did not share his toys, there would be ramifications. He told A that, quote, her mother would come if I don't share. And she said that, quote, she would get angry.
The little girl's mother would come?
Yeah.
There's something really creepy about that. I mean, the whole thing's creepy.
It reminds me of Black Eyed Kids. Because they always say, we need to call our mom.
Yeah, it's like that ambiguous, but like you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what they mean. Like you can't look ahead. It's the unknown. It's like mentally preparing for this. But when this demonic ghost creature says, my mother, you know, it's like
what could that be?
Yeah, that's really creepy. Although, so is it just like, and then they see it at dinner time and she's like, if you don't eat all your vegetables. Steve was just trying to teach him. How to share, be healthy, you know, get 8 hours of sleep.
So I don't know, like I said, I don't know what the hell this mother is. I couldn't tell you. But Eddie did not go into further details, and A herself did not actually see this mother. So A tried to leave it behind her and ignore seeing this creature, and she's kind of growing past it at this point. She's kind of getting numb to seeing entities. She's getting older. She's hearing disembodied voices, seeing entities, but she's growing, learning how to brush it off, and she's learning how to, like, purify her room and things like that. And that really slowed down this paranormal attack. So she's been trying to move past what she's been experiencing since she was a little girl, like 4 years old, clearing, purifying, and getting older. And now we're going to do a bit of a time jump to 16, where things have slowed down. She's not seeing many of these things. Or she is. She's used to it.
I gotta say, I'm glad there's a time jump, knowing that there's not like a 5-year-old, 7-year-old listening to Believing the Podcast, going to our website and then submitting her story. Although probably A+ on her story if she submitted it at
7 years old. I'd be really impressed. But no, she's not. She's older than that. So as she became numb, and she's 16 now, things change the night her great-grandmother died. This is when something, probably one of the most terrifying encounters I've ever heard, comes in.
So this is the great-grandmother that she thinks began everything, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I put in cutaway, so break the fourth wall. This is the climax.
Okay.
This is what we're here
this
for.
This is what you've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me? Yeah. This is really scary. Not to build it up too much. A was alone in her room. She described her room as like a box hidden behind a hallway. So like you open up the room, there's like a little hallway, and then the room opens up. And I quoted her on this. In Puerto Rico, we have a lot of light problems. I was playing video games as a six-year-old would, and the lights flickered on and off, and then off again. So I don't know about the light situation in Puerto Rico. I don't really know. But that's what she said happens.
Electrical problems.
Yeah. And I don't want to offend anybody, be like, that never happens to me. I don't know. That's what she said happens to her. So while she was playing video games, the light flickered, and she looks up. The first time the lights flickered, she saw nothing when they came back on. And they flickered off again. And in the darkness, she heard something crawling along her ceiling. And when the lights flicked back on, she saw the thing that was crawling. She described an extremely malnutrition-type body, like that of a Holocaust survivor. She could see down to the bone. It was in the corner of her room. It was hanging on the walls with its large black claws. She could also see black, broken wings behind dangling from it. The creature's eyes were sunken and black and filled with hatred. The creature whispered A's name, and when she did, she could smell the rotten flesh in the room that came from it. Then the lights flickered off again, and then on, and the next moment, it was like nothing ever happened. The creature was gone. So she was obviously terrified, and reasonably so, and she started to cry and freak out, as anybody would in that situation. And she actually had a panic attack, and she was taken to the hospital. And from then on, she had panic attacks off and on. Like, she still has them.
It's like a lingering, lasting effect from this terrifying experience.
Exactly. Exactly. And she's only ever told two people about this story, because every time she talks about it, she gets incredibly freaked out.
Until now.
Until now. But, I mean, it's private, so. She also works night shift.
Oh.
So this is also not, like, another thing she likes to talk about, like, before she goes to work. It's hard to think about that kind of thing before you have to venture into the night.
What if you put really scary music and sound effects in this episode, and she listens to this episode at work, and you give her a panic attack?
I hope. Are you going to feel bad? I would feel terrible.
No pressure.
I'm just going to put, like, Yo Gabba Gabba music behind it. No, I would feel terrible. I hope that doesn't happen. But that's essentially the crux of A's story. This family situation that escalates into panic attacks lifelong for this girl.
So, summary. Great grandmother practices dark magic. Her entire family, well, her and her aunt and her cousin see this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then her great grandmother passes away.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, instead of the little girl, she sees this gaunt creature like entity with wings.
Yeah.
In her room.
So I have three questions.
Okay.
One, do you think this is the same entity as a little girl? Let me ask them all before you answer. Two, do you think this could be the mother? And three, do you think this might be a demon?
There's no way for me to know any of these.
No.
I'm going to fail this pop quiz. No. What I'm thinking is, have you ever seen Welcome to Dead House, the Goosebumps?
No.
Or Reddit? So there's a spoiler alert for people in Goosebumps that haven't read that. So there's like this wreath that the family has in their house. There's a point to this.
Okay.
So this family is experiencing all these, like, they're kind of like zombies, but they're not like, they don't like being out in daytime, but they're like, they feel like they're going to get attacked, and there are attacks in the house, but like at the last second, they always get away. And they eventually attribute their bad luck and what's happening to this wreath. So then the family gets rid of the wreath. And there's people, neighbors, that are saying, it's that wreath, get rid of the wreath, you'll be fine, get rid of the wreath. And they do, and they found out that the wreath was actually the only thing that's protecting the family. So, my connection, what if the great-grandmother was somehow keeping things at bay.
That's herself. What I was thinking,
like,
too.
Like, she's the wreath. And once she passes away, it might not have been a wreath. It might have been, like, it was something in the house.
I'm sure someone will tell you.
I haven't read that book in a long time. But what if she was, like, the thing keeping it
keeping away? These evil, evil spirits away.
Yeah, and I don't think this is true, but, like, what if that was, like, what if something... She didn't say how she died. And yeah. I would not... I'm not trying to put this out there. I'm not trying to wish this on her. What if that was her? Like, what if she, like, literally was taken? Or, like, she lost her soul through her dark magic.
Yeah.
And it was actually her great-grandmother that she saw. I don't think so. I actually don't even like saying that. My initial reaction was that it was a different form of little girl, because obviously you would assume if this is demonic, I can't say either way. It feels like it, but I have no grounds
to stand on,
so that's 3-1. My initial instinct would have been that this is like the different form, the different boss battle form of the little girl, but I like the idea that that was actually the mother. I like that idea.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, because she never found out what it looked like, so maybe that's what it was. And I think it might have been demonic because of the wings, the broken wings, fallen angel. Mm-hmm. That's what exactly made me think of.
The creepy sounds, like, it's not often that I can tell that something's crawling on my ceiling. You know, it's not just something you know. Like, you're not like, oh, like a car alarm. You might have heard some in this episode. Like a dog barking. Like, those are sounds that you hear somebody says it and you call back to a moment you've heard it. But to be so aware, there is something crawling on the ceiling. Like, ugh.
I'm glad we talked about those little things before we get to the discussion. Let's go to the discussion now and talk about what we think about the whole thing in general. Before we get to the discussion, I just want to go ahead and thank our new patrons with my sick, beautiful voice, David, Scarlett, and Killian. Yes, thank you so much for signing up and joining us on Patreon, because we've got so many fun things going on there, like the director's cut, the quiz. I love the quiz.
New content, actually, just dropping this month for the first time. We decided because, well, to a certain degree, you like horror movies, right? Like, to the tiniest little...
To a degree.
Listen, I could spend the rest of my life on a couch watching horror movies and I would die happy. I would die very, very happy. Somebody would be crawling across my ceiling. I'd say, get some popcorn. We're sitting down. We're watching the next Hell House. But that being said, we decided we wanted to find a way to incorporate horror movies into our Patreon. And we did. We decided on doing a Netflix horror movie segment each month. So for our biggest dedicated tier, you can actually watch the movie with us on Netflix Party and chat with us. We're also going to be recording a segment where we talk about what we thought about the movie, everything like that, and you also can vote what movie we actually watch each month on Patreon. Really excited for that to drop this month. I think it'll be fun.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun too.
It'll be tying something I already love into the Patreon, so you know I'm gonna be hyped for that every week.
This is gonna be a strengthening experience for me.
Yeah, because it's funny, because I was like, oh, we can't watch that movie. Everybody's seen it. I've already seen it. He's like, I haven't seen it. So we might, it was Insidious, so we might drop that on there. Also, I feel like we haven't mentioned this in a while, so I just want to say it now. Everybody who joins our dedicated tier after 3 months of being in there, you get an exclusive t-shirt that you only get by being in our Patreon, and it's absolutely free, no charge.
So, from that, thank you again. Let's get back to the discussion.
So, there were two jokes I didn't want to say during the climax because I didn't want to ruin the climax. One is that she's freaked out and terrified about this thing on the ceiling, but she's playing an online game, so she can't pause it. She's like, I can't stop. I want to go. I want to run. And that caught the
panic attack. I thought of that too.
Two, following along the lines of them teaching sharing and stuff, she's like, make it two player. You know, share, split screen this bitch. But I didn't want to say those because it was a good moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was I'll a say good it moment. Now. I'll ruin the discussion.
That's okay. I really like the online player thing. I was going to write, she was all alone. Unless she was online, then she was only kind of alone.
She has like a headset on and everything.
Yeah, they just hear her screaming in terror. They don't know. Anyway, so Tyler, what do you think about this whole family dynamic? This whole generational haunting thing?
I don't know I feel like we've already talked about it. Again, I guess it feels theatrical.
Yeah, yeah. There's a thread line. I agree. I think...
The blinking lights is very theatrical. Reminds me of the movie Lights Out, which started as a really good short, which is really terrifying. I think we're putting our own spin. I mean, we can only tell what we know.
That's true.
We can't, and everything else we're not saying is true. It's just kind of, and I don't even want to say it's making assumptions. It's just kind of trying to break down what we can and saying what if, because that's all we can do. There's like the main story at face value, and then there's our idea of like, okay, what if it was this? You know, what if it was, you know, the mother? What if it is the same entity? We don't really know if it's the same entity. I feel like in humans, and I feel like the rant similar to what I said, in a perfect, we want everything to be like, this is why this leads to this, which leads to this because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like the world is just kind of like, I'm not somebody who believes that everything happens for a reason. So I think coincidences can happen. I mean, what if these are literally just two completely different entities that aren't tied together at all? Doesn't make for a good story, but
that absolutely could be what it is. But we don't know. Maybe the grandmother, like you said, was holding back something much worse. Maybe that's what this is.
Yeah, what if the girl was just like the appetizer?
Why did it whisper her name? That's an interesting question.
Maybe it was an energy thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like she didn't have enough energy to fully say it. Like if it was something that had been getting pushed back so long by the great grandmother, maybe it needed to take time. Or maybe we'll never regain that type of energy to be able to fully not whisper. Would.
That being said, I don't know.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
I think it's just, like you said, it's a great story, great through line. I would like to know more about the kind of magic the grandmother practiced, but we can't know that. So I'm going to assume it's one of the things that I found. That's what I'm assuming. It makes the most sense to me. So from that, I believe in those kinds of things. And I believe in demons and spirits and stuff like that. So I'm going to go with believable. I believe this story.
I don't know how much things are connected. There's no way to know. I can't. It's kind of like the ghost thing, right? Like if you believe in ghosts, if you believe in demons or these, and it doesn't necessarily have to be demonic entities. It seems absolutely like demonic entities, but
that's an interpretation of it.
I'll give it the viable just for the fact that I would want more information, more details about it.
That makes sense.
I can't say that this feels like they're lying.
Right. No, this is obviously not an outright lie.
It's kind of like if you already believe that these things could happen, then there's no reason to really say unbelievable or skeptical. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that they all experience the same thing. That's like when people tell you that like their multiple family members had the same exact dream.
Yeah.
Because naturally my instinct is to go, okay, so it's kind of like when we did The Vanishing Woman and we didn't know whether the people in the hotel saw the drawing first or she said, oh, this is a ghost I saw. I'm talking about bias or influence. So what if A somehow influenced Eddie, who then influenced his mom?
That could be. I don't know, though. I don't know if they talked about it beforehand, before the therapist appointment. I don't know. Because that's when it all really came out.
Right, right. I'm not saying that's what happened, but we don't have enough details to know concretely how it went down.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is something that you'd want to get more information on.
Yeah, it's like maybe one of them is actually haunted by a girl, and the other one maybe just what they saw was influenced by what A said. What Eddie saw was influenced by what A said. And it seemed too much of a coincidence that his imaginary friend, who's a girl, maybe could be the same entity that A saw as a girl and therefore just blended it together. And Eddie's aunt having understanding and knowledge of her, I don't know, would it be her grandmother then? It would be just her grandmother that passed. And the fact that they all bought in. There was no skeptic. Well, the father was skeptical.
Yeah, the father.
And look what happened to him. He got cut in the first 5 minutes.
That's right.
What do you think about those shadows? Do you think it was a little girl? Do you think it was other things that were following him? Or do you think it was actually following A?
I think the shadows in the beginning, I think those may be just like a manifestation of what things might come. Maybe gathering strength. Maybe they were following the father because they were following him in the story. So maybe those are just things that hadn't attached to her yet.
See, I would want to know if the father experienced anything after they went to the grandmother's house.
That'd be another question. Let me more information. I don't know.
So, does the aunt live with the grandmother?
I think they live in Puerto Rico. They don't live with each other.
I need more. It'd be interesting to know if the father never experienced anything after they left.
Yeah.
I don't think it was around him. I think it was around them. Also, I like your theory about what if the aunt, Eddie, and A are all firstborns.
Yeah.
I like that. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know.
Yeah, there's more information definitely to glean from this story.
Yes. And I hope that A comes on. Even if it's witness protection style, we'll turn all the lights off. It'll be audio only. We'll jumble it. I don't know. We'll use one of those voice things.
Voice changers.
Make her sound like Kermit the Frog up in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll get to the bottom of this. I really hope that we get to. There's a lot of people I'm really excited to interview, so I hope everybody's down to do that.
Me too. So thank you for listening to the episode, The Winged Demon. What a story. It's got a great thread line. A lot of missing questions, though, that I think we'd love to answer.
I think if I had 2 more hours of sleep, there's other connections that would be made in my head.
Probably.
I feel like it's like I ordered a puzzle and it's a 1,000-piece puzzle and they're like, all right, we're going to give you 800. Make do.
Man.
Just make do.
I feel the same way. I feel, because I'm still sick.
Yeah.
I'm just foggy.
It is a crazy story. Not crazy unbelievable. Crazy as in I would be having panic attacks.
Absolutely. Yeah, if I experienced too. That.
It the toughest part is knowing connections and the details, like we said. Mm-hmm. It's very face value. You know what it is? It's when someone tells you a story. Okay, my dad is very mechanically inclined. And so when he tells me how to do something with a car, it's like overview. It's like there's all this assumed knowledge. Sometimes I think you're too close to a subject to properly explain it to someone else. And I think that for A, there's a lot of information that for her is just common knowledge because it's her life, it's her family, it's things she's dealt with her forever. So I think sometimes it's difficult to step back and be like, okay, they probably don't know what this means, or okay, they weren't there for that, which I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm not knocking her. It's a very natural thing that a lot of people do. When you're very knowledgeable about something, sometimes it's really hard to pull back.
Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of that happened in this, but that's okay.
Still a good story.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want your story on Believe in the Bizarre and you want us to tell it on this podcast, head to believingthebizarre.com, go to submit your experience, fill out the form, please provide as much detail as possible, unless you're going to start having me and Charlie make assumptions and you don't want that.
And if you really enjoyed this story, please feel free to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. Oh man, that's great. Looking forward to those. Yes, please.
Cool. So thank you so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre,
a podcast as bizarre as you are.